Okay. I want to thank KDNK listeners for tuning in for another show. Weight off your shoulders. And I'm your host, Edward Troy, the otherwise known as the Liberal Gladiator, and a happy, proud vegan. And in my studio, I've got Dr. Greg Feinsinger, who is a happy, proud vegan doctor. And Dr. Feinsinger, I just want to thank you for coming in. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me. Great.
All right. And so last night you had a PowerPoint presentation.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know, Dr. Feinsinger is a very well-known doctor in our area, in the Roaring Fork Valley, in with the Aspen to Basalt and Glenwood Springs and beyond, Leadville and so forth area. And Dr. Feinsinger is of course vegan, which means you don't consume any animal, anything, nothing from an animal.
Correct. As of the last 5 years.
Okay.
Before that, I was not a vegan, and I didn't learn about the power of food in my medical training. I learned about it from a book called The China Study, which was recommended to me about 5 years ago, and my wife and I found the information so compelling, we immediately went plant-based.
Okay, and interestingly enough, I'm friends with some of the, some other vegans.
Right.
Surprise. Right. And one of them told me this morning that, actually his wife said, we read this thing called the China Study. And it's, if not the largest study ever done, it's certainly one of the very largest ever done by the medical professional community, gathering huge amounts of data and then analyzing it and then issuing a summary report, I guess, of sorts, saying, hey, you should go vegan.
Right. It's the biggest epidemiologic study that's ever been done in the history of the world. An epidemiologic study is a study where large groups of people are looked at, and you see what diseases they get, see what they die from, and see what they eat. So the China study was done in China, and T. Colin Campbell, Ph.D., was a nutrition expert at Cornell, was the lead scientist, and they found that the people in China who were too poor to be able to afford to eat animal protein, they didn't have all these diseases that we get in Western civilization, such as hypertension, obesity, high cholesterol, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, dementia, many kinds of cancer, and so forth.
Okay. And I know there was a book that was put out a few years ago, and I'm, sometimes just weird stuff pops into my crazy mind. You've heard of this book called The Blue Zones, I think?
Yes.
And yes. Do you see a correlation between, like, having a vegan or at least mostly vegetarian diet with maybe interspersed with a couple animal things, here and there, very, very intermittently, but definitely not relying on a piece of dead carcass on a plate? Is there a correlation there?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think the blue zone is about the groups of people in the world who seem to live the longest. So Okinawa, for example, there's a place in Puerto Rico and some other places in the world where people seem to live a long time. And not only that, they live healthy for a long time. In other words, they don't get these chronic diseases that we often get in America, starting in our 50s and 60s, with a kind of a slow downhill course. And all the people in the blue zone mainly eat plants. And they're also very active physically and socially, and there's some other things that are in common with all the people in the blue zones.
Okay, so when you... If someone's information oriented, which as a doctor you most doctors should be very information oriented, but as you alluded to, there's some who's like, well, the nutrition thing, I kind of like my bacon and so forth, so I'm not going to recommend that. you see there appears to be a very common thread in these areas, and with, you know, the China study and then some of what you brought up, the situation in Norway and in World War II, when the Norwegians were deprived of all the fattening rich, unquote, and then
they were deprived of animal products and dairy products by the Nazis who controlled Norway during the war and kept those things for their own soldiers. And the rate of heart disease in the Norwegians, which is really very high because of their diet, but during the war, when they couldn't eat those things, their heart disease rate just plummeted. After the war, they got those things back, and their rate of heart disease went right back up after a couple of years to where it had been.
Now, one of the things that would be interesting is, obviously you can't go back in time too easily, but do you think that there is some, because I haven't taken a look at that myself, so I have no idea, but I'm very well aware of what the Nazis used to do. You know, hey, we'll take all the nice stuff and you get all the leftovers and crumbs and so forth. But if there was a low point in heart disease in Norwegians at that time, was that very similar to vegan places in these blue zones and with people like the Seventh-day Adventists who are largely vegetarian or completely vegan?
Right.
And Okinawans and so forth.
Yes. So the people who have been studied most recently are the Seventh-day Adventist women in Los Angeles. And for religious reasons, they are at least vegetarians, if not vegans. And they're some of the longest-lived people in the world now. And the same in Okinawa. You know, they basically eat a plant-based diet. In Okinawa, they do have... Some ramen type dishes that have a minimal amount of pork in them. But they just eat that maybe once or twice a week at most, and it's a very small amount of meat compared to what most Americans eat.
So basically having a bite.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Right.
So in other words, your plate isn't half ribeye steak full of marbled... DDT or pesticide-laced grease and so forth that's in there. And people say, oh, it tastes good.
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, you know, as a doctor, what surprised me is that when I went plant-based, even though my wife and I, we thought we ate pretty healthy, but I actually was on something for cholesterol for years before that. And also something for high blood pressure and pre-diabetes, even though I wasn't overweight. I didn't think I was overweight. Nobody else did. I was very active physically. But when we went plant-based, I lost 12 pounds, and ever since then I weighed what I did when I graduated from high school, which is a rule of thumb for people my age. I'm 76, so when I graduated from high school, nobody was overweight. You can't really use that anymore because so many kids are overweight now. So I lost 12 pounds in a month, and my blood pressure became normal without the medication, and my prediabetes went away. So that's what it did for me, and of course, I was excited because I did a lot of heart attack prevention in my practice, and so I started telling my patients about this, and a lot of them actually were willing to go there, and they had amazing results. And I'm talking about people that had type 2 diabetes in one way, people that were able to get off their blood pressure medications and so forth and lower their cholesterol medicines or in some cases even get off of them. So it was really amazing. So just going plant-based taught me the power of food, which most doctors don't know about yet, and they don't get it, unfortunately, but they will. They'll come around. Maybe in another generation or so. And I found that with my patients that their numbers were better with just a change in lifestyle than with any medication or combination of medications that I gave them over my 42 years of practice in Glenwood Medical.
So that's fantastic news for people, because literally if you got, for those who are listening, the cures for many of these chronic types of diseases that we call chronic, that just creep up slowly year after year, is right at the grocery store, right in your kitchen. And so you can take care of a huge chunk of negative things that are affecting your life and give you not just more years to living, but more life in your living. And you know, keep doing things, you know, the things you want to do, and, you know, waking up for every sunrise and enjoying the beauty of a sunset and enjoying, you know, the company of those that you want to be around and just enjoy them.
Right. So it's not only living longer, which we don't like to do, but it's living longer with a good quality of life. You know, if you improve your lifestyle, you certainly stack the deck in your favor to live with a good quality of life longer than you would otherwise. And I know my patients definitely felt better after going plant-based. I felt better, still do. And also, Ed, I know you're an athlete, and I'm, you know, I do a lot of masters events and so forth. And,
awesome.
I was able to beat people in running races and Nordic ski races who I never beat before after going plant-based.
Well, that is something, and I appreciate you calling me an athlete. Hopefully I can comport myself as one and show it. But that's really interesting because you said you dropped a lot of weight. Before I went vegan 3.5 years ago, you know, a lot of people knew me. Why, my God, Ed, I mean, you're so unbelievably strong, even for your, you know, for your age and so forth, even then.
Right.
And I haven't really lost any strength, but my weight dropped from what I would call like a very stable plateaued about 215, 216 pounds. And now it's a very stable 185 to 190, depending on, you know, what's happening. And, you know, I don't have, you know, any wild, my weight's never wildly fluctuated, but there's definitely dropped down very significantly to that 185 to 190 range. And that's 40 pounds of just pure, probably fat, I guess. I mean, some of it had to be intramuscular as opposed to visceral or subcutaneous because I didn't really have anything you could pinch.
And that's why people get pre-diabetes who are overweight, because they get fat in their tissues and their organs, and that causes insulin resistance, so your tissues don't use insulin like they should. And so that's called pre-diabetes, and that eventually leads to diabetes and to cardiovascular disease, meaning heart attacks and strokes. Well, the other thing, Ed, is that you, I think you told me you're 60, but you look to me like you're 40. You sure that's right?
If my wife's listening, she'll say, well, no, actually, doctor, he acts like he's 4. And you know what? I kind of want to be a young kid. I do, because, I mean, when kids are out there playing and if they are, yes, eating their vegetables like you had up on your screen, and they're brushing their teeth and they're getting to bed early.
Right,
that
right.
is about as healthy as we as our bodies ever are, and we don't really have to lose that if we don't want to, because again, that cure is in the kitchen. And I actually wanted to, you know, the last time you heard, we talked about what we shouldn't be putting into our mouths. Now I want to ask you about what we should be putting into our mouths, when, what, and how much, and why.
Well, half of what we eat every day should be a variety of vegetables, because vegetables have a lot of antioxidants, and oxidation in our bodies contributes to aging, to cancer, to cardiovascular disease, and other problems. So eating antioxidants is very important. And so plants with an intense flavor, such as herbs and spices, are loaded with antioxidants.
How about just like 2 or 3 examples so people have an idea of what you're talking about? Herbs and spices, what are you talking about?
Well,
basil or something?
You know, cinnamon. You know, the wonder spice is actually turmeric, which has even been shown to reverse the symptoms of mild to moderate Alzheimer's, which is pretty amazing because nothing else has been shown to do that. And the other thing, the other type of food that has a lot of antioxidants is intensely colored food. So, for example, with vegetables, it would be like greens, and it would be red cabbage and red onions and peppers and yams and so forth. So, and with fruit, it would be especially berries, such as blueberries, strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, any kind of berries are intensely colored. They have a lot of antioxidants. When eating vegetables, people should include cruciferous vegetables such as broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and bok choy, and there are a few other ones. And also legumes, meaning beans, beans and chickpeas or garbanzo beans and lentils.
And peanuts would be in that class too.
Yeah, actually peanuts are not really a nut, they're actually a legume, that's right.
Okay, and I guess this is like maybe an odd question, but in evolutionary biology, I always read all kinds of weird stuff, but you know, one reason it seems like our eyes are, we see different colors, is that that may enable us, unlike most meat-eating creatures, they see, you know, brown, and it's almost like a black and white thing that they're getting, whereas we're able to see very vivid colors that can cue us to the fact that this is something that we should pay attention to and right, perhaps is edible. So we're able to see the purples and dark, almost to the point of being black, things like, you know, an eggplant or a blackberry or very dark blueberries or intense reds of raspberries and strawberries.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just intense colors, like you said, in peppers and things of that sort.
Right. So there's something about these intense colors in the plants that that protect the plants, and they also protect us from cancer, from heart disease, from a lot of things.
Okay, and one of the things that I've heard from people as, I guess, a rationalized excuse for not going vegan is this idea, well, doctor, I've got this blood type, and my blood type says I should be eating mammoth meat, just like the great mighty hunters, you know, of yore 20,000 years ago. I mean, what do you say to that? I mean, I think it's a crock of nonsense, because I don't think those people were aware of their blood type, just aware that they bled if they got gored by something like that.
Well, I mean, it's very clear what the science tells us, and we should be following what the science tells us. You know, how else do you make a decision about what to eat? And the science tells us we should be eating a plant-based whole foods, meaning unprocessed, diet, and avoid added oils, and avoid sugar, and avoid salt. And so if somebody tells me, you know, that they believe in the paleo diet is the best, or the blood type diet is the best, I would say, you know, show me the science. You know, have those diets ever been shown, for example, to reverse heart disease, not only prevent heart disease, but even reverse it? The answer is always going to be no. So really, there's no science behind the blood type diet and even the paleo diet.
And that would include things like the Atkins diet.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Dr. Atkins, by the way, died overweight of heart disease.
Oh, God, that's just, I mean, talk about irony.
Right.
But, oh, God, that's awful. I mean, but, you know,
yeah,
we shouldn't expect a different result.
Right.
So, all right, so you're taking a look at some of these, you know, intensely flavored things and intensely colored things, and we're getting these great antioxidants in there. You know, then we hear about things like, oh, well, gee, doctor, or, you know, as many people know, I'm a personal trainer.
Right.
Where do you get your protein from? What do we do? I mean, I just feel like I need to have tons of protein. And, you know, I can go out there and you know, and get a big, you know, chunk of a pork fillet or whatever the heck, you know, it is, you know. Why can't I do that? Just do that. Isn't that just better, I mean, than plant proteins?
Well, actually, the opposite is true. I think there's a lot of evidence that plant proteins are healthy and that animal proteins cause disease. If you look, for example, at Dr. Greger's wonderful website, Dr. Greger is a physician that wrote a book called How Not to Die. He spoke here in Carbondale about a year ago, actually in February, sponsored by the Valley View Hospital Medical Library, which is amazing.
Which is phenomenal, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, he points, if you go to his website and search animal protein or search plant protein, you know, everything that he's researched or written a review on over the past couple of years will pop up, and you can see what he says about animal versus plant protein. But basically, plant protein is much healthier than animal protein for us. And when people say, where do you get your protein? I say, you know, the same places that horses and elephants get their protein. You know, they're big, strong animals, and they're totally plant-based, right?
Absolutely. They are totally vegan, and our closest genetic relatives are gorillas are completely vegan. I guess they might accidentally eat an insect crawling on a leaf or something. And
right.
Chimpanzees are, you know, mostly vegan. I mean, I know once in a while they go on their, you know, their little
rampage.
Their rampages, yes. And they do things which are horrifying. But by and large, they probably get 99% of their calories from plants. And then just once in a while, they'll go out and do that. Do their deeds.
Yeah. So the beef industry and the dairy industry have been very good at marketing to us over the years, and they convinced us that we need way more protein than we really need or than is even good for us. For example, too much animal protein really contributes to chronic kidney disease, for example. So my advice is, you know, stay away from animal protein. And the China study, you know, what Dr. Campbell found in China was that the people were too poor to be able to afford animal protein, including fish, which is an animal protein. You know, they didn't have all these chronic diseases that we get, diabetes and heart disease and so forth.
Now, this is something that I think I've brought this up before, but this idea of osteoporosis being taken care of by meat and dairy and so forth. And when, you know, I've taken a look at some unusual, again, bone density studies. One was released this year. I forgot what journal it was in. And they pointed out that the bone density of our ancestors about 100,000 years ago was the same as it was for, for chimpanzees and gorillas and orangutans. And so in a sense, that would mean that those humans at that time would have had physical capabilities, while not exactly the same, that would be roughly equivalent of the body mass of something like a chimpanzee back in those days. So you took a 160-pound man compared to a 160-pound chimpanzee. That 160-pound man 100,000 years ago might have actually had a physical chance if he had an encounter with a chimpanzee unarmed, because clearly from their bone density, you can tell that they had to have much higher stress loads and they weren't suffering from extreme, weak bones and so forth. A chimpanzee might have had a tough time.
Well, it's interesting, Ed, because if you look at different countries and see what they eat and see what their rate of osteoporosis is, thinning of the bones, it's the countries on a Western diet with a high meat and dairy intake that have the highest rate of osteoporosis. If you look at these plant-based societies, such as the Seventh-day Adventist women in Los Angeles, the Tarahumara Indians in northern Mexico, and some tribes in New Guinea and the Amazon, for example, you know, they don't get osteoporosis. So it's very common in our country, as we get older, to have thinning of the bones. But it's not normal, because these other societies where they don't eat a lot of dairy and meat products, they don't get osteoporosis when they get older. Same with high blood pressure, by the way.
So basically what's happening is we, by being on a vegan diet, we do need to go here in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
We'll get rid of things like hypertension, get rid of these chronic illnesses.
Right.
How do we reach you?
How do they contact me?
Yes.
My cell phone number is 379-5718. My email is gfeinsinger@comcast.net. I do free consultations on Monday mornings. I do. I promote plant-based nutrition. I'm happy for people to give me a ring anytime.
Okay. And then briefly, Dr. Greger's website is nutritionfacts.org.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Doctor, we've reached the limits here of our time frame. Thank you so much for coming in. It's an absolute pleasure to hear you speak and have you in my studio and to see your PowerPoint presentations and know that you're absolutely committed to the cause of wellness in our community. Thank you so much.
Thanks for asking me, Ed. It's an honor.
All right. Got Pulse of the Planet coming up right now.